Hi, this is Mario Guerra, the two-time former mayor of the great city of Downey. And you're watching, you're listening, Talking Downey with Mario.
And Horacio.
Welcome, my co-host here, Councilman Horacio Ortiz. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And happy Valentine's Day and Lent season.
Absolutely. So. Today's Ash Wednesday. Both of us are Catholics and neither one of us has gone to church yet.
Afterwards.
We will. So we'll have our ashes. But happy Valentine's Day to
Thank you
too.
You have anything special today?
You normally do. What's interesting is my wife always gets me chocolates and so forth, but I'm giving up sweets for Lent. So she got me a box. She gave it to me on Sunday. So for the last 2 days, I've been trying to eat it. I got some left over, but I'm trying to get rid of all the chocolate around and everything else on there. I always find I give up something because it makes me better as a person to sacrifice. But I also want to do more. So I'm giving up sweets. I'm giving up a couple other things. But one of the things I want to do more is, I set myself on course to – make someone smile every day, make an effort to do that. I wanted to read more scriptures and have some alone time. And then also just to exercise a little bit more every single day. At least I got to do some exercise. So I combine it for the two, so.
Normally don't celebrate Valentine's Day because I own the restaurant right now in Pescador. So it's just busy day. And usually I'm there with my staff. So we celebrate the next day or the following weekend.
Right. Yeah.
And that's then great. Lent season, it's just, I'm going to give up tortillas, which is really hard.
Oh, that's like
one of my biggest, biggest weakness. I need to have everything with tortillas. So.
You know what? If we could do this, it just shows the strength. It shows sacrifice. Sometimes people make fun of you giving up something on there. But you know what? It does. It's like, I don't want to get preachy on this on there. Maybe I'll do an episode someday about Lent and so forth. But I'm talking about in my homily this afternoon at church. It's, it brings us closer. Jesus is out in the desert for 40 days and he's tempted a lot. So for us on there, these are small sacrifices for. So you had a council meeting last night.
We did. Yes.
So
it was great.
How are you doing? You're getting into the routine of council meetings and stuff?
Learning a lot still. But it was a great meeting. Nothing too much in our meeting agenda yesterday, but it was a great meeting. Yeah.
I saw it. It's kind of interesting. I listened to public comment. It seems like it's calmed down a little bit. There's a couple of jokesters.
There's a couple there. Public comment yesterday, majority of them was the rest of the guys.
Rest of the guys that were with the crazy guys, guy,
So it's interesting.
And they were defending the crazy guy.
And then they self-admitted that he's crazy.
They're just saying he should be allowed to be crazy, but not to the point, like the judge says, that it scares you guys. He ruled in your favor in the city.
Well, I appreciate what our former mayor, Claudia Formentas, started, and our new city attorney, John Funk. It was a great victory for our city. So I'm pretty happy that we can conduct city business without interruptions like that anymore. Yeah.
In case you don't know, and we talked about it briefly before, we had a gadfly that was off the charts, every terrible word, everything, calling everybody name, and they got to the point that it was a physical threat, and they got a restraining order, and then the judge gave a permanent 3-year restraining order. So good for city. It was hard to conduct business there. And in the past, he would come up every chance there was a public comment.
And he would come to a planning commission meeting, too.
Yes.
It was just all.
Yes, he did when he went on the planning commission together.
It was ridiculous.
So anyway, the two big things. But, it was interesting to listen to all the council members' comments. And you know what? It's back to Downey. You guys are all getting along. You're respectful to each other. All the five council people, you and Dorothy are the new ones. But you guys seem to be working along really great. Yes. I know you've been involved with several things with her.
Yeah, me and Dorothy, we call ourselves the dynamic duo. So it's a nice friendship that we're starting to. And tomorrow we are having a meeting, our strategic plan, so we can see how our ideas can, what's our future for Downey. So we're excited for that tomorrow.
Good. We were talking earlier. And when we used to, two city managers ago, we used to have the dean of the Southeast here and so forth. We had a city manager, very powerful. And in the old days, it was like the council meetings thought that the councils thought that they worked for the city manager. And the city manager thought the same thing. So I came on and there was a couple of new council people. And we wanted to get things done like you guys do. Mm-hmm. You want a good relationship. You guys seem to have one good one with Roger. But he kind of liked us keeping us apart. that we didn't all come together. And the only time that you could ever get together with a Brown Act, unless you agendize something, was at the council meeting, right? So there's no real dialogue or discussion or planning. So when I was mayor back in 2009, that was the first time I said, listen, then why don't we agendize? And he was all mad at this. So we put an agendized meeting. We had two people. Dr. Mary Stauffer came to one of them on there, and we did it at the Columbia in exactly that, a strategy session. And then we all gave our priorities, and then we prioritized it down to five and, you know, and 10 each, and then we did the city priorities. The, you know, that everything that you guys get in a report now, it's got to fit into the efficiency, engagement. So that's where it came from that meeting in 2009, we came up with that.
And it's great that we're exchanging ideas and we have an opportunity to discuss, because it's not, we should not only discuss it at the dais.
Yeah.
It should be an opportunity for us to come together and exchange ideas of what we see our vision for Downey's for the future.
Well, not only that, as a council member, you want to know what another council member is thinking.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, wow, that's a great idea. Staff, how do we get behind that?
Yeah.
So it is
work together.
Yeah. So that I'm glad you guys are continuing to do that. But our first city manager didn't like that. I mean, he grew into, and then Gilbert Levis thought that was a good thing. So,
you know, there's some cities during the conferences, you see these cities that are go to some other place for a 2-day trip to like really formulate. I'm like,
Yeah, you can do it in an afternoon or something like that. So yesterday there was two things. You didn't have anything controversial on there, but two items that it was brought before the city council on there, and one was about the master bike plan.
Yes,
and so forth. Tell us a little bit about that and how that.
So I mean, it's interesting because I think me and Claudia, we both kind of see eye to eye to where the master bike plan is, especially when we're discussing an old rural school where there's. Initially, there were four passageways for cars to go and then reduced to one.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to come, we asked staff to come back to give us a little more information of, do we really need all this? Because honestly, I have lived it down my entire life. And when these bike lanes came about, I have not seen one bike in those lanes.
I use it. Well, okay, because it's my neighborhood.
Please tell me when so I can book it
down. Sure, no, so I do. I actually took a selfie with it. I sent it to Mayor Pro Tem Hector. So I was like, well, just so you know, I'm using it. But here's the whole thing is, it doesn't connect to anything.
Yeah.
I like some connectivity. So I go down on the bike lane all the way to Imperial. It ends there. So how do I get to the one in Gardendale? You got to go down Imperial Highway, you know, to get that. So you're in a main street without anything like that. So there's no connectivity. So when we have all these bike lanes, but they don't, you can't go in a circle around the city in a bike lane. And I do feel safer in a bike lane. And I do agree that, you know, whether that one there was right or not, there's very few people using it. I think it makes it easier for people in the apartments to park across the street. So things like that. But I don't disagree. Connect them all or...
You know what? I actually also agree with staff. I mean, this is a good calming measure. It reduces traffic accidents. And during my campaign, I mentioned that I want to make sure that we really conduct a traffic study to see how we can avoid accidents or people speeding. But I think there's other opportunities, other avenues where we can really do traffic calming measures. I don't think bike lanes.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
The one thing on that bike lane that's really bad there, and I just showed you the picture that you guys had up there last night, is when you come out of the elementary school, you go right into one lane, but it backs up the whole elementary thing. So even if you do have it, just start the bike lane another
a little further down,
50, 100 yards down. So the cars that are coming out of the school, there's two lanes coming out. And it speeds up.
My parents live right off Old River School. So there was this one time, I never went back again. It was during school hours. It took me 30 minutes for me to cross that school. I'm like, wow. So, I mean, we just come up with a different approach of how to handle that.
Well, and I'm glad you guys got that. That started. So that was in my 2013, I think they brought it up. So that was part of Healthy Downey. We were trying to make, we wanted to also see about, you know, we had a bike to school day, and we did it throughout the whole community with the school district, and it worked for the day because we had everybody's attention on it. It worked 2 years, but then I don't know. Knowing what I know, I'd be scared to send my 10-year-old to school on a bike these days.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem safe. And isn't that a terrible thing? When I was little, I'm a lot older than you. When I was little, it's like, you know, come back before dark, you know, kind of thing. So we'd roll our bikes everywhere. And went, you know, it's just not safe.
Yeah, so. And I think Claudia brought up a good point. You know, right now there's going to be a lot more housing and a lot more activity and more traffic. So we need to just make sure that we really evaluate where we can really put these bike lanes.
Good. The other thing, so I listened. So by the way, just to, so you know, but just so everybody knows, to prepare for some of these, we want to always do this meeting of Talking Downey about the council agenda. There was literally nothing controversial on the council agenda, and we want to report to you because we've had so many people that say, hey, this is the best way we get our information, okay? Because nobody's really talking about the nuances unless you were there. And here's somebody on the city council, and I, being a former mayor, have some of the history and the institutional history. So that's why we're doing this, is kind of recapping. So this meeting, we're going to recap the council meeting. So twice a month we'll do that. And the other two times will be more specific and maybe answer questions from you and so forth. So last night, the other receive and file or report from the city was about the parking lot. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know what? I appreciate what staff has done. I mean, we have not painted that parking lot since 2005.
I heard that.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And so, and not a lot of people know that we have that free parking structure right there where you can easily park. And also, the people that do take advantage of that parking lot, there's just a lot of vandalism, a lot of cars just on top doing donuts. This is a great start to revamping that parking structure, doing a nice paint job and a mural. So we discussed options, or they showed us some options of the mural. I appreciate what staff did, but I'm very proud that I think all our council colleagues agree, like, hey, maybe we can go back to the drawing board and see.
We can do better. The one thing I didn't like about it, it's just Future Unlimited is great because people my age and a lot of us know that's our one of our models. But, you know, we have Discovery Downey and the Downey logo. And our kids maybe don't know about the Future Unlimited. Yeah. It looks like it and so forth. And this is looks like just what it was. Our biggest issue, so we had a downtown Downey district, and I know you're one of the representatives on the downtown subcommittee on there that we want to meet with you and Mayor Pro Tem, you know, Sosa. But on Monday when we had the meeting, there was two. One was the advertising part or the marketing subcommittee, and then the regular one at 2 o'clock over there at the credit union. And one of the things when they looked at this, too, is like there didn't seem to be any discussion, okay, with the downtown. And the downtown literally has hired somebody to look at the new logo, if you will. And by the way, the downtown district, so everybody knows, okay, nobody thinks that. It's not taxpayer money, okay? The downtown businesses have decided to pay themselves, tax themselves, and pay for additional advertising, additional security, additional lighting, a different wayfinders, to attract, to make it a really cohesive downtown. They're paying themselves out of their own tax dollars, all these businesses. So one of the things that was kind of, some of the people were miffed there Monday night on the board is like, so the city just did this, and yet there's a branding, you know, consultant looking at the downtown logo, and they didn't even bother to have that cohesiveness.
And I know Mayor Pro Tem Hector Sosa brought it up before I did, which is great that we need to, you know, have conversations with
downtown stakeholders.
Because this will be a great advertising opportunity, you know, and a great opportunity. A lot of people are going to start taking pictures here.
Yeah.
You know, we have the Doodalicious.
Yeah.
And I think this will be the next level up of people taking pictures.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I mean, I don't see anything that says Downtown Downey.
Right.
We only see Future Unlimited. So if somebody takes a picture that says Future Unlimited, what does that say? Where do they go? Or where can they?
It could be anywhere. And then some of the other ones on there that had nothing that, you know.
Nothing. It has no representation of our community either.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history. A lot of rich, you know, history of our community, but there's nothing there. Right. So,
and people don't know. By the way, the Doodalicious was done by Don Lamkin. So, and people, some people, especially some of the longtime business owners, say, "Hey, he didn't put my business up, or didn't put my business up, and so forth." Well, you got to remember, this was literally a drawing that he did, artwork for himself, and he was putting things in Downey that he remembered. you know, that aren't no longer here, you know, the record stores and things like that, you know, the even the old rocket ship that used to be at Furman Park that, you know, think about it now, is scarier than heck that we'd surprise kids didn't get killed in that. But that was him growing up, and it's including him riding his motorcycle with his license plate, Good to Be Home, and his dog. So it was a private, personal thing of remembering. So we, the city, fell in love with it. I bought the third one out of 10 original ones. It's hanging right there in the next office. And we commissioned him to do that mural there in the downtown. That parking structure is owned by the Portos family. Yeah. And we begged them to allow that there. Well, his mural is so cool that the city of Downey sign, this is Downey, like you see the entrance signs and stuff. It's almost at right above head level. So people are always taking photos right there. I see it. I guarantee you there's three or four a day because I see it out my window right here. So,
and that's true. And then I think everybody who has run for a city office has taken a picture there. Robert Garcia has taken that picture. There. So I think this will be a good opportunity for us to advertise our city.
Yeah.
And so it's just going back to the drawing board. I appreciate what staff have done. It's just, hey, what can we do better? And I'm glad that we all had that same.
Right.
And so we did talk about that it's not going to stop painting the whole structure first.
Right.
It's just going back just to finish another concept for that.
Well, we were they came to the downtown committee, and they also came, you and I, on the planning commission. We had that parking consultant that before they went to the city council when you were chairman of the planning commission. So a consultant came back, and the concerns from everybody was, how do we make it safer? What do we do? Cameras, lights, all these other things. And the consultant came back because we wanted to utilize the parking lot. Is not because people like you and me were scared to park our cars in there for various reasons. True. And they said one of the statistics show that when they're brighter, well lit, cameras and things like that, it makes a difference. People feel safer to park out there. Because the one thing in the parking lot, if it was always utilized, it'd be safer because the bad guys would see people walking in and out of there, would see you and me walking to go to our cars, and they would be less hesitant to be bad guys and stuff. So it's kind of, it was interesting how they came back to us.
And I remember that consultant, that little dial place that shows how many parking spots wasn't even working.
Yeah, it's still not working. It's still right there. So I think you guys picked the colors last night. I was watching, and I'm so glad you guys want to change this, but you and a few of your colleagues push, but we want everything else to keep going forward.
Yeah, we don't want to stop.
The painting, there's cameras, there's lights, there's painting, all kinds of security things.
Just making sure that we have some development, some progress. Yeah. We don't want to wait a couple months, more months, or a year for it, some change to happen.
Yeah, so one thing I heard last night in a couple of different reports, it seems that code enforcement now is being more proactive.
Yes.
So that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, well, some of the RVs that were removed or that were left the Woodruff area, they went to Walmart. So there's about five or six RVs there. So it's just working with staff and owners of Walmart. And I did not know that Walmart allowed overnight parking for our...
Right. Well, they've done that as a goodwill gesture. And in the past, because, you know, Walmarts are throughout the country. So if you're a big trucker and you're going from here to Florida and, you know, you got to stop several times. You can only drive, what, 8 hours a day or something. So Walmart's policy has been that it allows big trucks to park in their parking lots. A safety thing for them, too, which is a great goodwill gesture, except people take advantage of it.
Now they're taking advantage of it.
Taking advantage because it shouldn't be a motorhome parking there every night.
And we also discussed, Claudia brought it up, the vendors, the street vendors that are now there. There's about like four or three street vendors that are just stationed right there. So we need to make sure that we crack. And then just making sure that we continue being proactive. Before code enforcement was being reactive, just going to everything that the community was sending or we were sending. Yeah. But it's now, I think I appreciate our council is like, hey, we need to get... Keep going and being proactive. Yeah. So it's still going
good. Just following the laws on there. You know, it's always, you know, from a, you know, you don't want to be too pushy, but listen, if cars are parking on the grass
or the Christmas lights,
you know, it makes it all trashy.
Yeah.
You know, I was a ride along once and the officer says, you know, look, it does look trashy. So sometimes they can be the bad guy, you know, for giving a warning or telling them on there, but think if everybody parked their cars on their wash. I mean, I understand that you're washing your car on Sunday maybe or something, but otherwise their car should not be a permanent parking.
And you know what? Downey was used to be known for somebody who was strict on code enforcement and keeping the streets clean,
we
the
went
lawns.
The other way.
And I don't know where we got lost. And I think it was during COVID. I think we lost a little bit of that.
And some things, you know, I see it. And I have that issue with the businesses, right? Because you want to help businesses. But you drive down Firestone, there's some, the windows, there's a code on there. It can't be more than 35% can't be painted. And you have some that paint everything completely on there. So they'll get to it. And, you know, the biggest complaint I used to always get from residents, because code enforcement used to, they'd come to my house and, oh, you can't have this fake patio here and stuff like that. Well, you know, the Smiths down the street do. So now the guy has to write it down and go see the Smith. And that's how a lot of things happen. We told on each other just because we didn't want it to be the only one single in the house. I remember those stories.
I didn't know.
Yeah. That's a lot of code enforcement. Because then once they're told, they have to respond.
Yeah.
So if I tell on the Smiths down the street, they got
to
go check out the
Smiths. One to the house and
Yeah. So anything else going on that from your perspective?
You know, I got a little pushback on one of the things I mentioned yesterday. I asked staff for two things. One, I asked for a facade improvement program to help small businesses. Mm-hmm. I went a little drive along on District 1 the other day, and you know, there's a lot of businesses that need a little help, a little paint job, and just reaching out to see if they need a little help and start a program so we can, you know, see what we can do to help small businesses, which is great, you know. Come up, revamp our district. And then the other one was I asked staff for a report on what Montebello is doing. I got a couple calls and some text messages, but I kind of want to see maybe not use their ordinance, but kind of want to see be more creative. There's a lot of vacant properties, businesses that are not being used. I mean, the Vons that's right there next to Tacos Gavilan has been vacant for many years.
Right.
And there's other properties that just haven't been developed. So it's how can we help these property owners to develop, to bring in leases, to bring in more business here to our community.
Right.
Just want to get more information and be a little more creative, you know?
Right.
Be a different city that maybe it didn't work, maybe it's working for Montebello, but what is working for Montebello so that we can bring to a city and kind of help these property owners to rebuild?
Well, you know, that's the hard thing is because sometimes you can't do, I mean, look at the high-rise graffiti buildings in downtown LA.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's like, so it's a catch-22 there for the city. You don't want to see that. You know, it's a safety issue on there. But then it could be costly, and, you know, they can charge back to the people that own it. But if it's a corporation and they're bankrupt, obviously they haven't finished it, who's going to do that and stuff like that? So sometimes there's that gray area, but it puts cities in a tough spot.
Yeah.
You're right.
Sears, you know, has been vacant for how long?
Yeah.
It's been closed. Yeah. And so it's just, I want to bring in more development. And then again, I want to be more proactive in this and helping these property owners. And it's just a matter of how can we help them out?
Right.
What can we do? What are other cities doing to bring in more development?
And you know, the one thing that we started in the last year, and our new development person, Irma, she's great.
Oh, she's great.
That. Yeah. So there's been something from the Planning Commission coming out, like, here's all the projects that we got going on there. And we'll put the link on it on here, too, so you guys can get it. And you know what every single development project, when is it coming up, what's happening on there, what the pictures are. So that's very proactive, and I like that.
Yeah.
So we all can see what's going on in the city. And there's some things going to surprise you in a good way, you know, and stuff. I mean, I know that the mayor last night mentioned Sprouts. And I could tell you, for example, you know, you might not be able to say it as much on there because you know too much on there. But, you know, Trader Joe's is looking in the city. They're just finding the right location. Whether it'll happen this year, next year, the following year. But they definitely are interested on there. But there's a couple other places that you're looking at, you know, next to the Nissan dealership on there, there things are happening. But one that I think
I can't say
I know
here.
I know. I know.
But you know, there's a lot of great development And I'm appreciative of Irma that she's being very informative of what's development that's coming into our city.
Yeah.
We're trying to be more transparent so people can trust more of our government, you know, so you see what's going on. And Sephora just came to District 1, Downing Landing, which is great. That's what I tell all my residents. Just keep an eye out. There's going to be a lot more development, a lot of more businesses. And I feel that our council wants to be more proactive, whether it's code enforcement, development. I think we have a strong council.
Okay, so here's the tip of the day, okay? Because it's one of my favorite little joints, and it's a small family-owned business. So in the Promenade, when you mention it. So last night I had staff meetings at St. Philip's in my church in Pasadena, and you get home and the traffic and everything else, and Ann was going out with her friends. So I was dinner on my own, okay? So believe it or not, I went straight. There's a little place right next to the Jersey Mike's, right next to Hanley's, the ice cream place on that side of there, and it's called Boba 302 or something like that. And it's got a couple chicken dishes, and then you can get the small, medium, or large, the boba, and the stuff, and it almost looks like it's awesome. It's just my favorite place. I can't go there for 40 days, at least not for the boba. But they have this cumin chicken. So it's got a thing like you get six on the A columns, like cumin chicken, like Taiwanese sausage, this or that. There's six proteins. And then you could take one of the six rice dishes part. So you can combine number two with number four, right?
Yeah.
So I've been craving this because I get it once every 2 weeks. It's cumin chicken, and it's the defried little chunks of chicken and cumin on there. And with the fried coconut, pineapple, mango rice.
Yeah, my mouth watering.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
What is it called? Maybe I could ask that.
Boba 302. 302 degrees. Right next to the Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Okay. Right there. Anyways, it's amazing. So I went there last night, and you got me hungry on there. So, and I can't today. This is Ash Wednesday. We can't eat meat down there. We abstain from meat. Well, that's the white meat, but it's okay. Anyway, so you brought that up. I literally went there last night.
And you say I'm going to see if I can reach out because there's a lot of ideas that I have. I want to bring in more a Korean barbecue, a pho place, Dutch. There's something a lot of people are in. Yeah. Craving this Dutch Bros, which is coffee.
So
reach out
to I was just in Fresno.
Orange County just opened their first one here. So,
there's
going to be a lot more new things coming in. Trader Joe's, we're still working with them. And,
I love Korean barbecue.
We need one here in Downey.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
I love that.
There's just a lot of things coming. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are thinking outside the box. It's, you know, it's nice to have new blood like yourself and you guys can share it here with us and so forth. So I want to ask, we're going to start a new segment sort of, okay? When I think we should answer questions from the viewers, okay? So if you send in questions, okay, reasonable questions, you can't, you know, don't be, well, if you're goofy, we're not going to answer it. But if they want to ask questions of us, we'll answer it on the show here. So it gives you an idea. I mean, you have a council member, an elected official, and a former elected official. So he brings the current. I bring the institutional knowledge from the city. So together we can answer some questions on why the city on there. So the other day, Dorothy Pemberton texted me. She's now on vector control.
Yes.
And it used to be Robert Kiefer used to be on the vector control, represented us for 8 years. And she says, I'm surprised that he wasn't elected official. Well, you didn't have to be elected official to be on that. The council appoints you, but he was on it. And then Meredith Perkins, after he got off the council, he wanted to serve on that. And we appointed him. Yeah. He was served on that for 6 years and stuff. So little nuances like that I happen to know, and she's the one that brought up. She goes, "Oh, you guys should do a, answer this or something." So I thought about it. So let's kick this off. Ask us questions, and our next show we'll answer the questions, and we'll bring it back here and go from there. So,
ask away, open book.
Ask away, yeah, absolutely. So, is there anything else you want to bring up today?
I think we covered the meeting. I think we covered everything.
And so forth. I'd like to know what else, maybe some things that you like to see in the future on the show. And we'll obviously listen to folks on there, the things that they want us to talk about. You and I talked about the buses, the downtown buses here. And we may go on doing a show live. We'll literally go. We'll take Brandon with us.
Yeah.
You and I will get on the bus, and we'll see how far it takes us.
Yeah. From 8 a.m. till.
So, yeah, yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. And then we'll have some other guests on there. You know, we'll get our police chief, and we'll get our city manager and some of the ideas on there so they can see. You know, the one thing about our show that you and I can assure people, we're not a gotcha show. We're not looking to make headlines on, you know, aha, we tricked you or whatever. I remember a couple of years ago when we had candidates for the assembly district, and there was one candidate that came in that, you know, had done something a couple of weeks before. And when they came in, they were scared to death. And I just, listen, come here, give me a hug. It's all good. You know, it's you know, we're not here. We want to inform the folks, you know.
And that's what we want to do. And I want to be make sure I'm very transparent with my residents and make sure that they have every avenue for them to be informed of what's going on in the city. So I appreciate this invitation.
Yeah, good. All right, folks. Well, listen, send us your thoughts. Send us your comments. We are open book. We want to listen to you. We want to answer your questions. And we want to get your thoughts. Some on the first show that you did a couple of weeks ago, we had some good comments about you, and I thought that was really nice. And we'll go from there. So, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching Talking Downey with Mario
and Horacio.